Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, you crazy cats and kittens. I'm Tim Chantharongsu.
And I'm David So. I'm not associated with that lady at all. She definitely killed everybody.
Yeah. She sure the fuck did. What's up, y'all? Free Joe Exotic. I already said that. Dudes Behind the Foods is the name of the podcast. I was gonna bring us donuts today.
But you didn't, and now I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry, and I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, I get a lot of, as I'm sure you do too, I get a lot of people emailing me like, yo, can you come try this spot? Like, blah, blah, blah. We'll hook you up, this and that. And there happened to be a spot that was on the way in Culver City. And I guess they're doing like a pop-up, right? And I was like, oh, lit. Let me pop in. And I was already running a little late. So I fucking literally parked in like in a red. And I was like, I'm gonna just pop in, grab my box of donuts, get the fuck out. I'm looking around. I'm like, all right, where's this place? Where's this place? It's called Holy Grail. I'm like, all right, where's this place? I'm looking. I asked the girl, I'm like, hey, do you know where Holy Grail Donuts is? And she was like, oh, that sounds like, is that a pop-up? I was like, yeah. She's like, usually they're on that side. I'm like, all right, cool. Walk around to that side. I'm like, oh shit, I'm checking on my car. My car's not towed yet. I'm looking. Could not find that shit. So I just hopped in my car and came here. And I'm sorry, David.
What would have happened if the lady was like, have you heard of Holy Grail? And they're like, they've never existed. And then you get jumped. You always go into situations where you could die.
Or I'm like, do you know Steve from Holy Grail? And she's like, oh, yeah, he died 10 years ago. And then I'm like, wait, I could have sworn. And I turn around. Hello? Hello?
A little tumbleweed goes by.
Oh, no!
Dude, y'all got it. So I rarely buy donuts.
Uh-huh.
Right? The only time I used to eat donuts was, I'm pretty sure, is this like a church thing where they just always bring donuts to church all the time?
Not my church.
So, well, Korean churches, they would always get those Cambodian donuts, right? Because they're super cheap in the morning.
Oh, the fluffy, the long ones.
Yeah, so it would be like the long ones. It would just be the pink box donuts.
Okay.
Those like the Cambodian donut shop ones. But
oh, the Cambodian, like the mom and pop donut shops. Yep. Oh, okay.
Every Sunday at church, they would get them, and you have to get there early before everybody grabs the fucking good ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they would only bring like two chocolate eclairs, the ones that stuffed with the cream.
Mm.
And I would run with my fat little ass and I would just stiff arm all the old ladies. Just get the fuck out of my way. And I would grab the fucking eclair and I would be so happy. If my parents showed up late to church, I'd be pissed because I couldn't get them.
You know what I just realized? You are Asian George Costanza.
Don't say that. Don't say that, dude. George Costanza's the worst.
But he's also just like pissed all the time.
Jerry!
It's funny that you bring up Cambodian spots because I literally just stopped at Phnom Penh in Long Beach the other day.
Oh, dude, your parents have ruined that spot for me. That place is delicious.
I love it. I literally crave their like rice porridge that they make with like the little like all the pork blood and bits they throw in there. The but liver. Oh, it's so bomb.
I don't understand why I like that shit so much. Like if somebody were to explain to me what it tasted like, I'd be like, it tastes like iron. And I don't know. I like it though.
I love it, man. That shit, like, it's comforting for me. You know what I'm saying? And so my mom. You know, as I've said before, how my mom is very picky with her food, right? And so after me and David, we gushed about Phnom Penh when they were on that episode of Send Foods. That's actually the Newport Beach episode where we did the etiquette manners, the etiquette lessons.
One of the funniest fucking episodes ever.
I go back and I watch that episode just for the etiquette lessons part, dog, and I fucking die. But in that episode, we popped in Long Beach, went to Phnom Penh, a little Cambodian noodle shack soup spot, you know, and you know, me and David in the episode, we're like fucking jizzing over this shit.
So good.
And so my mom and dad went, and my mom was like, "What? Why did you like it?" She had her face on, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And they're like, "I'm like, y'all must have went on a wrong day because that shit was fire."
Yeah, I don't understand what they didn't like about it. It's really good porridge, especially with the fried donut.
Yeah,
dude, it's so fucking good. You know what I want to do? Your mom just to prank her. I want to eat her food and just give her the same face back.
I think low key, you know, when my mom just sees me like other Asian food spots, she's like, we'll see.
Yeah, did they make this also push your big head out of my pussy? She just says that shit. No, but Phnom Penh's really fucking good. I actually only started having Cambodian food maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, not that long.
Mm.
And then it's interesting because I didn't know that Vietnamese people and Cambodian people have this thing where they're like, oh, our food is better than Vietnamese food.
Because, really?
Because they're borderline countries, right? They're very similar.
Right.
So they have like their version of like porridge, their version of like pho.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called pho, but it's very similar, right?
Yeah.
And so like I remember when I was talking to one of my Vietnamese homies and I was like, oh, like Cambodian food is like pretty good. And she's like your mom. But Vietnamese food is better.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It's, you know, I'm surprised. I also haven't really had a whole lot of Cambodian food in my life. And my family lived in Long Beach till I was like 10 in a very like Cambodian heavy area, you know. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just think we never did. And for some reason, when we moved to Paramount, there's so many Thai people. I don't know why there was so many Thai people in Paramount. It's like when you go down Alondra, there's literally like, so my parents had Thai Smile, right? And then literally right here, like less than a block over, there was Treasure Pot, which is another Thai restaurant, which was like our main competition. And even got more of our competition because one of our ex-waitresses took over Treasure Pot and like basically started running Treasure Pot. And then, so let's see, there's Treasure Pot, Thai Smile, my family spot, there's Thai Orchid, which is few more blocks down, there's
that's really close competition.
There's literally like five or six Thai restaurants up and down Alondra. And but I also feel like, you know, the combination, like, because Paramount is like 80% Mexican population, right?
Yes.
And I think the combination of flavors that Thai people do is really similar to like Mexican flavors, where you have lime, the spicy and the sour, right? Where it's like Mexican families would always come in and order a big pot of fucking tom yum because it's like spicy and it's sour.
Just,
can we just
call it pozole? Can we get some pozole, please?
Oh, like, did you see that video, that little reel or TikTok online? There was like a Mexican family went to a Korean barbecue spot, but they brought tortillas.
That's hella funny.
And
dude,
I'm like, bruh, that's such a good idea.
They're just making fucking tacos, which is essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's so funny too? Like with this LA Mexican people know this shit, dude. In K-Town, for some fucking reason, and the only reason why I could co-sign that shit is that there's a Thai restaurant that's like a chain. It's called Thai Barbecue.
Yeah.
Mexican people are there all the time. On the weekends, the one in K-Town, line out the fucking door.
Have you ever had Thai barbecue chicken?
Like the skewers?
No, not the skewers. Like they have like an actual like barbecue chicken, like El Pollo Loco situation.
No.
Thai barbecue chicken, the marinade is different, and it's a specific flavor, and it comes with a little side of like their sweet and sour sauce, and they serve it with, you know, some sticky rice. Fire.
My parents love Thai food, dude. It doesn't even matter how bad the Thai food is. Like, they just love it. Because I think it's just the flavor shit that gets them. And it's like, so when I go to Sacramento, I always take them to this one Thai spot, which it's okay. It's not that great, right? But it's like our spot around in our neighborhood. But my mom fucking loves that place. And I think it's just because she only wants to eat foods that she can't make.
That makes sense.
She doesn't know how to make it or what the flavors are. She just knows that. She's like, whoa, what is this?
I had a homie in high school who was adamant about never eating Subway because he's like, I can make this shit at home. It's like, what the fuck are you paying $5 for ham, cheese, bread, and vegetables?
Because it's cheap. It's $5.
Yeah, and I don't have oil and vinegar, salt and pepper, Chris. Yeah. Chris Junel. My boy. How are you, man? And also, I was going to say, you know, speaking of Thai food, right, and just different, like how Thai food's always kind of good as long as you get like the base flavors right. Not if you ask my mom, but like I'm really picky with my Thai food now, of course. But there's a Thai spot in Culver City, and I remember looking at the menu, and I'm like I don't see a whole lot of like Thai dishes, right? And I'm like, and me and Chia were really in the mood for grapao, right, which is the shit I always order, like the ground beef.
Oh, the spicy ground beef.
Yeah. They'll call it, you know, basil beef or menu, right? And I'm looking, I'm like, where is the gapao? And I'm asking, like, you don't have gapao? And if you want to pronounce it like correctly, Thai correctly, it's grapao.
Damn, that's too much work.
You just gotta roll. It's like if you say straight up, it's gapao. Almost when you say sawadikap, sawadikap is correct. If y'all don't know, that's the Thai like proper greeting, sawadikap, and girls say sawadika. But the correct pronunciation is with a little rolled R in there.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Wait, so this is a girl and a guy version?
Yes. So Thai language, if you want to be polite, right, you kind of punctuate every sentence. Like if you're speaking to an elder, you punctuate every sentence with a krap or a ka. Kap or ka. So it's like you don't just say, like the actual greeting is just swadi, but the polite way is swadi krap. Swati ka.
And crap is guys.
Yes, crap is guys.
Okay. I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, so you'll say like, oh, like, okay, let's say.
I've been saying it like a fucking girl this whole time and nobody's been telling me.
Oh, you say swati ka?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a girl way, yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
like if you want to say sorry, kator, which is basically literally means like asking for forgiveness. Kator is sorry. But if you're speaking, if you're actually saying sorry to someone, or especially like an elder, it's kator kap or kator ka.
Asian languages are so complicated, man. They have too many honorifics. They have too many like, oh, so this is what you say to your aunt on your father's side, and this is what you say to your aunt on your mother's side.
Yeah.
But you have to ask what their age is. How old are they?
Yes. It's like, same shit.
Fuck, man.
So, oh, this is so interesting because I didn't know y'all did the same shit.
Yeah, so our aunt, depending on whose side, right? So if it's my aunt on my dad's side, she's my como. If it's my aunt on my mom's side, she's my imo. Oh. Right, the younger one is chagun como, which is smaller aunt. Older one is kun como, right, which is older aunt. You know,
oh,
what
my
I mean?
God.
Mm-hmm.
So Thai people don't get that complex. There is a if it's a, so it doesn't go with, in terms of aunts and uncles, it doesn't go with whose side, but it does go older or younger, right? So my uncle that is older than my mom would be lung, okay? That's older uncle. But younger than my mom would be na. So that's the younger uncle's na, older uncle's lung.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so complicated. This is why people don't want to learn other people's languages. Yeah,
seriously, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You
want
to know something funny? So, Veda calls, well, she doesn't call him anything yet, but what we have Veda calling my parents, we call my mom Yaya, and we call my dad, well, I'll tell you this. We call my mom Yaya because grandma in Thai, grandma on my side is Kunya. So that's why we call my mom.
That sounds cool.
Kunya. Yeah. That's why we call my mom Yaya, okay? Which I heard like Greeks also call their grandma Yaya. But anyways, But if we follow that same train of thought with my dad, grandpa in Thai on my side is Kun Pu. So we call my dad Pupu.
Your dad fucking hates it.
Which evolved into he's like, oh, I'm the shit, man. So we evolved that into Poopy. So now, like, it's Yaya and Poopy is what we call my
grandpa. That's hella cute, though.
Isn't that adorable?
That's fucking cute. Just wait until she starts calling your dad fucking shit. That's gonna be great. Poopy, Poopy.
Aw, that's adorable.
Dude, his little fucking kid is just walking around now in her little walker.
I know.
And it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, especially because she kind of has your dad's face, so she just looks like an old person. Just, what's going on over there, huh, yeah. You little kitties?
Because she does this little, like, especially when she's excited, she does this like, So now she has her, like, little walker.
She is so excited. She's like, yes!
And her hair is always, like, disheveled it's and on her face.
Fucking crazy.
Oh, my mom, yeah, Chia calls her hair, she's like, with your little Kris Jenner hair, because it looks like one of those old lady, like, haircuts. Oh, children.
You're a fucking dad, dude. I still can't believe you're a dad.
Yeah, it's wild, because, you know.
I'll see this fool just, like, when we meet up, he's, like, with Veda. He looks like a delinquent teen dad. I'm like, look at this fucking 16-year-old father. You fucking just coming in everybody, you piece of shit.
Yeah, especially since, like, you know, I guess I don't dress like a quote-unquote parent should dress. And I've been, you know, kids will say in my comments, like, I used to get in my comments all the time, like, Tim, you still dress like you're in high school. I'm like, first of all, buddy boy, I rap and I make YouTube videos for a living. I can dress like this until I'm 90.
Yeah, but people who usually write those comments are probably the worst dressed human beings on fucking earth.
They're like fucking 18 and a half year olds who, like, went to the Gap on a spree and think they're so fucking grown.
Yeah, you fucking pieces of shit. What's up, dude?
What are you shopping at the Gap, you little idiot?
I know. Just because Kanye started doing shit with them? What's up, dummy? I actually like the Gap.
I love the Gap.
Yeah.
And so it's annoying, right? Because I'm like, I look at how, I guess, quote unquote, people should be dressing my age. I'm like, y'all look dumb. I don't wear that shit. Like, you walk, you on your off day, you have your shirt buttoned all the way up. Are you serious?
You look like a fucking idiot.
You fucking nerd.
Dude, have you ever met with some? I mean, listen, if you are from my high school and you are listening to this, some of you just look like you want to die. Like, come on, man. Like, you know what happened? Like, there's certain friends who have, I won't even say friends, these are just people I know that I've seen in high school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That after they hit, like, move past high school or move past college, they feel like they have to be a certain age.
Yeah.
So they just age. And they physically look like how they behave.
Dude.
It's like, dog, like they'll, so I was forced to go to my high school reunion because one of my friends was like, let's just go. Mm. I did not want to go to my high school reunion, right? Like, high school was just something that's just distant memory.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a couple years back, they're like, okay, well, let's go to your high school. Let's just go.
Yeah.
So I go there, and you see certain people, and they say things. They're like, dude, you look exactly like how you did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say the same thing back. Right. I'm like, bro, you look like shit. You look like you were rolling in trash for the last, like, 10 years. What happened to you, man?
I think something happens. I mean, something about the entertainment industry has kept us youthful, for sure.
Because we have to.
We have to. We're more aware of how we look, right?
Yeah.
We kind of have to be. And yeah, of course, a part of me is like, yeah, I want to be healthy for my child and, you know, so my wife is attracted to me. But at the end of the day, I just want to look good on camera. That's literally it. I don't care about my cholesterol. I don't care about my blood pressure or how my wife feels. I just want to look good on camera.
Hey, Tim, I have an opinion about how you look. I don't fucking care.
No, but you know what's crazy? Like, I was with my boy Super Ego at his house the other day, Eric Ochoa. If y'all follow me, then you know I've been friends with this man since high school. And
crazy.
And he has twin boys of his own who are fucking so adorable. And we're kicking it. I'm like, man, life is wild. This is crazy. But also, man, have you seen the people we went to high school with? because wow, they look terrible.
They look like a fucking chocolate bar that melted in the sun.
They just look so much older and so much just not good.
it's just the weirdest thing when I see them. It's like, oh my God, dude, like, why are you doing this to yourself? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be this way. You never dressed like this in high school.
Oh, no. Or they did dress like that in high school, and they're still dressing that way.
Oh, you talking about that?
Bruh, me and Rick look at some of the homies that we used to kick with, and we're like, do y'all not own TVs? Did you just throw all social media away as soon as you graduated?
Talk. This is crazy, too. I know what you're talking about. These fools still wear the Marte Fresh Grabochis and shit. It's like,
bro,
what's going on?
And they're not wearing it like, oh, this is some retro shit.
Dogs, I had a friend, too, before we go on break. This fool, I roasted this guy so fucking hard because he tried to roast me on my pants. He was like, bro, what's up with them gay-ass tight pants? I was like, did you just say gay? And did you just say tight pants? And I'm like, dog, did you go to prison when we were 18 and then you just never upgraded your wardrobe? What are you talking
Did
about?
Did you crash your plane into an iceberg, dog? <No. laughs> Did you just get defrosted?
I was like, what the fuck are you talking? Did you have a club when you came out of your fucking...
It's crazy, man. I mean, thank God the social media has kept us looking good and current. And we're going to talk about more after this break.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, man.
Oh my God, I'm crying. All right, we're back.
Oh man.
It's so It's so funny.
It's just the weirdest thing too. Like sometimes when you go back home and like I understand just because you know certain people are just kind of stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
But when somebody said my pants were gay,
yeah.
I was like, damn, bro, you fucking dated. Like I know we sometimes use that jokes here and there because we're making fun of our former selves.
Right.
But this motherfucker used that as an actual insult. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude?
Even like it's so funny, dog, because even I've seen footage of battle rappers, right? Who, you know, back then it was like, you let it, you say anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And battle rappers who have been in the game for so long now, I've seen them watch their old battles and be like, ah, yikes. They cringe at, like, the use of, you know, derogatory.
It rhymes with maggot.
Yeah, yeah, that. And they're like, ah, you know what? I can't even watch that anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny that you bring up gay, too. And as we're talking about style, because I remember specifically one time, Paramount High, we're in the locker room. One guy put on a Gap. He had a Gap hoodie, and this like shorter cholo stocky dude, he came in. He was a good dude. His name was Luis. Came in, starts cracking up. He's poised at his sweater, starts cracking up. Everyone's like, what's so funny? He's like, gay ass people.
Dude, that shit was so prevalent. I remember I was just standing outside of my house once. And this is during the time when, like, you know, Kanye West came out, right? And he kind of popularized the preppy look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, hood people were starting to wear preppy shit. Mm-hmm. But not everybody was on that shit, especially if you live in, like, the area that I live in.
Yeah.
So, like, I was wearing, like, a pink polo, like a pink Ralph Lauren polo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there talking on my phone outside to a homie. And this guy just in his car, shit you not, rolls down his window. And the word at the time, it rhymes with maggot.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, real men wear pink. Maggot!
Oh my god!
And he goes, ah, ha, 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 and he just drives off. So I went in, back into the house, and I changed my shirt. I felt so bad. I was like, this is too early. And I took off the polo shirt. I put it back in the house, and I wore my long white tee.
Hilarious. But also, there was a time when we were in high school where Cameron and Dipset made baby pink T-shirts,
that's
like
right.
A look, like everyone, like there was a good, I want to say, a couple months where everybody was wearing baby pink. I bought a fucking baby pink NY cap from Foot Locker. It was a look.
Baby pink and then baby blue.
Yeah,
Nelly.
Yeah,
he made baby blue super popular. I still remember this shit where I had the fucking this long fucking what's it called? Echo baby blue tee.
Yeah,
I had my fucking South Pole jeans and then my white Air Force Ones.
Yes, dog. I had a whole baby blue sweatsuit, Sean John.
Oh, I know. I saw that fucking photo. This fool looks like he pimped out women on the side. Dog, you went balls to the wall. Your outfits were fucking. For the time, clean as fuck.
Yes. At the time, extremely clean as fuck. I used to go in. But here's also, like, you know, I didn't want my parents buying that shit for me, right? So I would...
Expensive.
I would buy it in sections. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would sell my candy, bootleg my CDs, maybe have, like, $60, $70 to buy some fresh Air Forces. And then I'd be like, okay, this fucking... I'd see, like, there was, like, a Vocal velour suit that it was at a spot called Hip Hop Connections right across the street from our school. And and that shit was maybe like, I don't know, $150. I was like, I can't afford this shit. And I waited all year until it was on the sale rack, my size, because I'm little. And it finally was there. But of course, it's little. Little for me is like, I'm still buying like an XL, you know what I'm saying? And so I finally bought that shit. And then I used to customize my Air Forces, painted them to match the outfits and the jerseys.
Oh my God.
And I used to paint people's Air Forces for them for like $15.
This man literally was every single black kid in my high school. That shit is crazy, dude. Yeah, I remember too. Okay, yeah, I'm making fun of him, but I had like two white Air Forces and I couldn't get, they didn't have the black ones out yet. This is before so it was the white Air Force first came out and then later on they came out with the black ones. But guess what I did? I bought two white ones and I painted the other ones black.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I was ahead of my time. And they're like, what'd you get them black ones at? I painted that shit with custom.
Wow.
That shit was tight as fuck, man.
That's crazy.
It was like, you know, I mean, I guess I'm still kind of like a sneakerhead because I still love sneakers, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it's just like how I value them is very different now.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's just because like now that we make money, I'm not like treading so lightly with them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird too because like I'll see some of these like YouTubers now, they're like sneakerhead YouTubers, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll just be like, yo, man, you threw away the box with your sneakers. I was like, that's poor people talk. Be quiet.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right. I was like, what the fuck are you talking? It's like, You could resell them. I'm gonna wear these because it looks good with the fit.
Yes.
I'm going to wear these.
Bro, remember, did I talk about having to apologize to AJ Raphael in here yet?
No.
Okay, so when we filmed—
Or if you did, I don't remember.
So. Yeah, me neither. When we filmed our first When Foodie Calls at Disneyland, I wore my old Zebra Yeezys. Because they're so comfortable, like the most comfortable shoes.
These are fucking ridiculously comfortable.
And I remember I had run into AJ Raphael one time as he was leaving California Adventures, and I was like, "Bro, you wore your Yeezys to Disneyland? What are you doing, man?" He's like, I know, but they're comfortable." And I was like, "Oh man, I can't. Oh man, I was disappointed in him, you know." And then when I wore my Yeezys,
this fool wears his Yeezys all the time.
Yeah, I know. These are like my Zebras specifically. I wore them everywhere. And so I texted him. I was like, "Hey, dog, I owe you an apology. I wore my Yeezys to Disneyland, and I know I reprimanded you in the past. I'm sorry."
Speaking of, this guy actually owns the original Turtle Doves.
I do.
And he trashed them. But the cool thing about them, they could clean up really easy.
No, they're in good shape still.
Are they?
Yeah. They're a little stinky now because I wore them so much. But they're in good shape. And also, I'll tell you what. For the part two that we did at Disneyland, where we filmed just a couple weeks ago, that'll come out probably next month. I took it up next level. I wore some Yeezys that I barely wear.
The brand new Yeezys,
and I was like, "Do I want to wear some like crispy Yeezys to Disneyland?" And then I was like, "Same shit." I'm like, "Fuck it, I got money." Like, why not just wear this shit? Who gives a fuck, bro?
This is Tim 2.0, dude. What the hell?
Especially like as a dad now, right? Priorities are completely different. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who cares?
Exactly.
I have a child. Like, this is where my money's going to my child now. I'm like, mm-hmm. Honestly, what's the point of all these shoes that are just collecting dust in my closet?
Just wear them.
Yeah, fuck it, man.
Though I don't understand, too, when I see when people are at Disneyland and I see them wear Jordan 1s. I'm like, that is one of the most stiff, uncomfortable shoes that you could ever wear.
Right.
Listen, I don't have flat feet. I have a nice arch. I have a normal size foot. Mm-hmm. Everything's normal. And I wear those Jordan 1s. I will not wear them to fucking Disneyland.
Really?
I won't wear them if I have to walk a lot. They look fucking dope.
Yeah.
But if you have to walk for 7 hours, that is the last shoe you ever want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't believe Michael Jordan played in those. He played basketball in those shoes.
His arch is probably crazy.
Insane.
I'm a very flat-footed person, so I need some comfort. Can I tell you a funny Foot Locker story?
Yes.
So when you work at Foot Locker, as any other business, there are certain things they like to emphasize that you upsell, all right? And because, you know, they make the most money off those things. And those things would be shoe cleaner, socks, and insoles, okay?
Oh, is that why you motherfuckers keep trying to upsell us?
Yes, always. It's always like they will always try to sell you some insoles. I don't know if they still do that now, but when I was working there, that was the main thing. Let's see who can sell as the most insoles today, right? So it became a whole thing, right? And actually, they're helpful, especially if you're flat-footed, especially mm-hmm. in certain shoes. Like, everybody knew if someone was buying some Chucks, it's like, oh, yes, I'm about to sell some insoles because they're flat. They have no cushion down there, right? So
also, basketball shoes originally, which is crazy.
That were just flat?
Chuck Taylor, he was a basketball player.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah.
So people were hyped one time because there was a little kid who was buying some Chucks, and insoles, they don't come in little kid sizes. But I was like, you know what? You know, it would benefit him to maybe put some insoles in there. It's good for your, you know, your arch and whatever. And so we ended up cutting the insoles in half so they fit into his shoes. And he's like, yeah, they feel way better. And I sold this little kid some insoles, and everyone was like, oh shit, Tim, good job. Wow, you really, you know, like made it happen today with these little kid and the insoles, right? Until one day, this dude took it next level, bro. The whole store was in awe, okay? All the employees were like, what the fuck? How did he do
this? Bro, this is actually kind of like a funny sitcom show.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. So this dude, people were shocked. I'll tell you why. This man sold insoles to a guy in a wheelchair.
Hold on. Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
I have no idea.
How the fuck?
I have no clue what he said.
He's like a Foot Locker legend that everybody talks about for years and years. He's like, have you heard about the legendary man who sold insoles to a man in a wheelchair.
And it wasn't a fucking my leg is broken for a month wheelchair. This dude was
paraplegic.
Permanent wheelchair rider. All right. And he fucking had the shoes and they fucking put the insoles in the shoes and he bought them.
I'll tell you this. That guy's going to hell. he's going to hell. That's like selling glasses to a blind man.
Everyone was like, how? But we did it.
They was like, hey, man, let me tell you something. Insoles get pussy. And he goes, put them on me now.
He was like, look, bro. Oh, I'll tell you something else. Speaking of pussy and wheelchairs. Oh, I've never told this story. It's so interesting. I knew a girl who dated a guy in a wheelchair. Right. And this dude had, he got shot at a party, like caught a stray bullet. Wasn't even for him, paralyzed him from the waist down. Right. And I asked him, like, how do y'all, like, when y'all have sex, how does that work? Cause he doesn't feel anything. And so when he's mentally turned on, he will get erect. Even though he may not feel it, him being mentally turned on, like his penis will get hard. And she's like, and I can just ride it. And he, like, never comes because he doesn't feel it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how it works. Maybe it's just for him.
Maybe it's, I mean, I'm sure it's all different for a lot of different people.
She has a real, like, whenever dildo.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Isn't that crazy?
She like hit the jackpot. She goes, I don't even like him. She's yeah, like, yeah. I just get to have sex whenever I want.
But that perma dick, man, that perma erection.
But seriously, the guy who sold the fucking wheelchair guy insoles is literally going to hell. Like, that guy is going to fucking hell. What did he say? Nobody knows.
This was so long ago.
He just disappeared like the donut man. Just gone.
I'm like, what happened to that guy that sold the insoles to the guy in the wheelchair? What happened to Mario? And they're like, oh, Mario?
He died 10 years ago.
He bit a donut and died. He choked on a donut 10 years ago.
You mean Mario, the guy who owns the donut shop in Culver City? What?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was...
How many odd jobs did you work? I only worked like one part-time job because I used to always work for my parents. So like where did you work at?
If we don't count working at my parents' restaurant, because I got to a point... I was working at my parents' restaurant in high school, and but I felt like if the purpose of me working is to help them financially, right,
get money from somewhere else,
yeah, then I was like, it doesn't make sense for them to be paying me, you know what I'm saying? And so I enrolled at the ROP program at Paramount High, which is like, it was like all about, first they teach you how to do job interviews.
That's dope.
Yeah, shit like that. And then they will basically, you work for free. Or you work for credits for like your whatever credits at like a job when they're like on their busy season, like during the holidays or whatever, and then that job decides if they want to keep you or not, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the ROP, I worked at Foot Locker, and they had me just in the back stock boy for the semester or whatever, and then they hired me as a stock boy, and then after you're a stock boy for a bit, they move you on to sales. You're in the back guarding the hats, and then they move you to either the women and kids wall or the men's wall, right? And I remember specifically, before I tell you about my other job, you know, one thing about this job, this class, like I said, they'll tell you how to properly job interview, you know what I'm saying? And I remember specifically when I went to go interview at California Pizza Kitchen. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but...
CPK.
Yeah. So this is okay. So I had quit Foot Locker after being there for maybe like a year and a half or so at the Lakewood Mall because I was honestly like, I'm gonna work on a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? And then I took a break to do some rapping, and then I was broke. I was going to Cal State Long Beach. I was a freshman. And I was like, fuck, I need money. And then CPK was hiring at the Lakewood Mall. It was a brand new one. So I picked up an application. And I filled it out, and I handed it to somebody, this older white dude. And this is like, I was like literally at the mall, and I just saw, oh, now hiring. Let me turn in this application, right? Give my application. I'm wearing a puffy LRG jacket with fur on the hood. I'm wearing...
Nice.
I'm wearing Timberland boots, okay? I walk up. I'm like, here you go. And the guy's like, okay, you want to interview? And I was like, right now? He's like, yeah, might as well. And I was like,
sir, I'm wearing fur. And he's like, I don't care. He's like, that's fine. I'm like, sure, let's interview. So I fucking sat down in my Tim's and my puffy LRG jacket with the fur. And
fucking LRG, that shit used to be the shit.
Oh, I loved it for so long. Yeah. And you know, and one of my one of the main things they teach you in this ROP class is that always make that place feel special. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta make them feel like you want to work there for very like specific reasons. So even though I had never even really eaten at CPK, like I don't remember eating at CPK before that, he's like, hey, so why do you want to work at CPK? And I was saying shit like, oh, you know what, like, you know, first of all, I love the food, and what one thing I love about you guys is like the way the service here is always so great. It makes me feel like I'm a part of the family, or whatever the fuck I was saying, right?
That's very fucking good,
too. That's important. Let me tell you, for any of you youngins that haven't done job interviews, shit like that. You work in.
Yeah, that's really good.
And you work in how your personality trait can help whatever the fuck you just bullshitted them about. So I would be like, you know what? I love that, you know, your service, you guys really go above and beyond, and you guys are always so kind. For me, I'm a very personal person. I'm a very talkative person. So that's why I think I would be good with this company. I think, you know, it's not just about handing out food. I feel like, you know, I like
that's
to
really,
shit like that.
I think I would have fucked that up, though. I think I would have lied too much. I was like, well, first of all, as a Italian a Coreano. The way you do the pizza.
Is I like it on pizza.
It's the pasta. You guys are making al dente. Like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? It's like Tim told me that I have to be personable and say the things that you like.
So, speaking of the pizza, so then he gets to this question. He's like, okay, let's do this. What's your least favorite food? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm not too picky. Like, I love all types of food. And he's like, just give me something that you don't like. I'm like, I guess, like, I'm not a huge fan of bell peppers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, here, I'm a customer. Tell me about your new bell pepper pizza at CPK. And I went, okay, well, it's not my fave. And he went, and I was like, wait, run it back. Do it over. And he's like, okay, tell me about your new bell pepper pizza at CPK. And I said, this is my favorite pizza. And he went, there you go. And he wrote something down. I was like, I learned you have to lie a little bit to succeed in life.
Wow.
And that is your lesson, and we're going to take a little break.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, and so those would be my two jobs: Foot Locker, California Pizza Kitchen, and that's it.
What was the technique that you would use to, like, because I know, like, in server, because I never got to work food besides that a fish and chip place, so yeah. I never understood, like, different tactics that people would use to get tips, right? Because I know for a fact girls always make more tips, right?
For sure.
Just because I, as the person who gives tips. If a girl just came up to me and was like, oh, what would you like? I like your shoes. I'm like, well, you're getting $100.
Yeah.
You like, know, just.
You want to fuck me? I'm going to tip you.
Yeah. So I only say this because one of my friends back in the day told me that what she would do specifically is that she would touch guys on their shoulders. And so anytime that she touched a dude, you know, pending if their girl is around or whatever, yeah. Right? Then she would be like, oh, what would you like? And then she would just touch them on the shoulder or somewhere that seemed a little more personable.
Mm-hmm.
She would always get like a shit ton more tips.
So I would do something similar, not shoulder touches, because, you know, that's weird for a guy. Mm-hmm. But I would always make the point towards the end of my server life, because I wasn't always good. Like, I fucked up a lot. But I would do a lot of, I would touch the table really lightly. I would, like, let's say this is the table, and I'd be talking to you. instead of just like with my little like paper and pen and shit, I'd be like, okay, so let me know, blah, blah, blah. Like it's a lot of emphasis. Like a lot of people will tell you, well, I mean, I guess everyone has their own strategies, but I would always like get down if I could, you know, like, so like where you kind of like kneel down here.
Oh, that's very Japanese.
Oh, is it?
So Japanese people, when they serve, even when you go to Japan, or you'll see a lot of like Korean people too, mm-hmm. they put themselves below the customer as mm-hmm. a sign of like respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. And I found out because Mariel told me this because she used to manage a Japanese restaurant.
Mm.
So they'll do that in the service point. So if you go to Japan, if you go to Korean restaurants too, if they're like super Korean, like you'll never see them stand above you and take your order. They'll kneel down at the table below you and they'll look up, which is so interesting because it reminds me of a blowjob.
Oh, yum.
Welcome to blowjobs. But it's like one of those, like, there's like these little weird tactics things that people always, and it works. People think it doesn't work, but it does, because it always works on me.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's just little stuff, you know. It's like, and I feel like, you know, it's tricky because people will kind of decide immediately what if they fuck with you or not when you're at the table. You know, I can always kind of tell when they're like, oh god, this guy again. And in the beginning, I for sure, because CBK, you know, their initial training was, I think it's different than the way it is now. It was a very specific, like, make sure you check in every, like, I don't know, however many minutes. It's like, check in after the appetizer, get the appetizer order, like, order of things. And I think sometimes people would be, like, in the middle of their shit, and they'd be like, yeah, no, we're good. We're good, dude. You no need to check up on us anymore, yeah. You know? But we're just kind of following this protocol. And I think sometimes it's a little annoying for people. And I think they have switched it up, because even their uniforms have changed. It's, like, a lot more casual now. But, yeah, I learned, like, just all this shit from working at CBK. And to be honestly, I think I owe a lot of my broader like food experience to working at CBK. Because like up until that point, I think it was like Thai food, and then, but I hadn't really experienced any like, not that CBK is fine dining, but finer dining.
For sure. It's not like an Applebee's or something. You
yeah,
know
yeah.
I mean?
It's, I think it's a little step above Applebee's and like TGI Fridays, you know what I'm saying? Because they got like their wine, they got their, mm-hmm. like there's a whole like, you know, I think it's a little fancier, and it opened my taste buds up to a lot of shit. I had never had fucking hummus before, and I had never had like, I don't know, just like,
not tap water.
I still fuck with tap water. But I learned different things about different pastas and how to pair wine. I never knew about that shit before. Like, I never knew, like, oh, reds go with beef and white wines go with, like, fish and chicken. Like, I never knew any of that shit until I started training at CBK.
See, it's all these little life experiences, man. You know what I always tell people, too, like, because I actually own food businesses, so... Like, one of the things that people always forget is that, you know, when people can eat food, hey, we could fucking eat food at our house.
Yeah.
Like, service is everything, mm-hmm. right? Because it's an experience. Nobody wants to fucking go. It's like, yeah, like Subway, right? Right. I can make a sandwich at home, but I don't want to. So, but if I go to Subway and they treat me like shit, it's like, who the fuck cares if it's a $5 sandwich or not? I'm not going to fucking eat here. Right. Like, the food is so much about service. I know restaurants that are arguably fucking terrible. Like, the food doesn't taste good, but because the service is so good, people still always come back. And you could even, like, change the perception of the food just based on who the server is.
Right. I mean, it all depends on your experience. Right? Like we've said before, when I'm going to a little mom-and-pop Asian spot, I don't give a fuck about you telling me about your specials of the day. I don't need you to smile in my face. I don't need you to make jokes. But when I'm going to, like, even, like, a CPK, yeah, like... I like when my server is, gives me good service, tells me about the menu, is knowledgeable about the menu.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to a bougie restaurant, man, it's great if someone can fucking tell me about all the ingredients in the fucking, like, in the sauce of the fish or whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah, the bougie restaurants is definitely for the experience, right? Just because of the price point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, the food is really good, but... If you took away the service experience and then you reduced the price by half, I would take that.
Yeah, I mean, that's facts. There's this old In Living Color skit that used to crack me up because Jim Carrey was playing like a French waiter. And and his fake French is just so dumb because they're like, what's the special today? He's like, oh, mademoiselle, today we have, today's special is so good. It's a voulez vous goes on? And he goes with a little lululul on the side.
Dude, that reminds me. I wonder if the Key and Peele sketch is based off of that too. Did you see that Key and Peele sketch?
No.
So it's the dumbest thing. It's basically Jordan Peele is taking out this girl to date on a. Oh, it was Jordan or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to impress her, saying that he knows a little French. But he doesn't know that she actually speaks French. And so she just starts, the fucking waiter comes through. He's like, oh, would you like this with a little bit of sousan? He starts speaking French. And this fool starts sweating his ass off. And then it gets to a point where he just freaks the fuck out. He goes, can I get a little... and he starts mumbling it. He just gets up off the table and leaves.
Their shit is so great.
Yeah.
Have you seen their Gordon Ramsay?
Oh my God, dude.
Where he's like, this food makes me want to kill myself, dramatic music, because I've never had anything this good before.
And it keeps going over it.
So good.
Before I died from eating such shitty food in one of the best places I've ever had food in my life.
In heaven, because it was so good.
The best.
Good stuff. I bougie restaurants is like, it's kind of what I miss most about pre-pandemic. Like,
that was
my shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I got it to a point where I'm like, fuck going out, partying. If I can just go somewhere with a couple friends, nice ambiance, some fucking bomb expensive food, that's my shit.
Yeah.
You know? And literally, like, before she was pregnant, before pandemic, that's all we used to do. I'm like, yo, I found a new restaurant I want to try out. Let's go.
Did you realize, too, because of pandemic, I realized that the only time I like eating out at a restaurant is if the company is right. Because if I'm just hungry, I'm just going to eat something at home, dude.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to, I don't want to, because if you're hungry, if you want to eat something, you can make it in like 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But at a restaurant, you have to get seated. It's like a whole, it's going to be a 3-4 hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, it's like, I'm just going to eat at home. And because of pandemic, now I just eat at home mainly.
Yeah.
Because like that experience is now gone.
I had my first experience like that in like 2 years because, you know, LA is getting a little crazy again now, but it got a little better before it got crazy. And at the end of the year, I told Nikki Blades and Ricky Shucks of the No Chaser podcast, I'm like, hey, I want to take y'all to like nice dinner, just end the year. We've been doing this shit for over 2 years now, you know. And I went to actually really good restaurant. It's like it's become more like it's become one of these trendy Hollywood spots like that like girls like to take Instagram pictures at and shit. But the food is actually still fire. Katana in West Hollywood. Mm. You ever been?
No.
It's like a Japanese steakhouse, but it's like, you know, a little Hollywood.
That'd be so funny if it wasn't Japanese.
No, oh, it is. Okay. Oh, and it's called Katana.
Yeah. It's like
it's named after Mortal Kombat character.
They just have severed heads on the table.
But it's bomb. And we went and it was so nice to just fucking like sit with like, you know, like the fucking bougie like vibes and have like an expensive drink and have like just order a bunch of shit and just have that experience again.
One of my favorite wine experiences when they had their sommelier come out.
Mm.
And this motherfucker was like, he started going, he's like, okay, so we have this right here. We have this Riesling. It's a little more minerally. It has a little back forward. Like the bubbles kind of hit your tongue. I was like, hey, bro, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. So what do you think will be fire with this dish, right? He goes, okay, thank God. All right, so he goes, like, cool, just get this one and this one. And I was like, how much you want to spend? I'm like, oh, that's what he was like. Yeah, it's just, you know, some people like that experience. He goes, but honestly, they don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I love it too. I zone out, but I just go, you know, I honestly listen to the whole spiel and then I hang on to one, whatever word I can catch. I'll be like, so he's giving me a whole spiel about like all these fucking white wines and how they pair with what. And I'll be like, I heard peach.
I was just saying that in my head.
I was like, I heard peach and I heard Sonoma. I was like, I think I know where that is, and I know what a peach tastes like. Give me that one. That's what I
said. Like, it tastes like pear.
Yes.
Give me that one.
It's like, it'll be like hints of this and bark and oh, like and whatever. I'm like,
Have you seen or watched like sommelier documentaries?
No.
So they have these descriptors for these wines, right? And it's not actually describing what's in the wine.
Mm.
It's what it smells, taste or senses like. So when somebody says there's like a descriptor that a lot of people use for like cabs or something. It's like a fresh cut garden hose.
What?
Because it has like, or like a Merlot will have like a rubbery type of like, it's basically the taste of the barrel. So
really?
It tastes like oaky or woody, and it has the scent of a fresh cut garden hose. And
that's literally what they say.
Yes, they're like, it tastes like loamy dirt on a hot summer's day and a fresh cut garden hose.
What?
And I'm like, who the fuck wants to fucking drink that, dude? Huh. Yeah, but those are the descriptions that they use. So it's not exactly what's in the wine. It's what it reminds them of.
So next time I go to sommelier, I'm going to open the shit and I'll be like, where the hoe's at? Sir.
They're like, you talking about the wine or you talking about the bitches?
Ah, man, that's so crazy. We should, wine is one of the things that...
We should bring a sommelier here.
Oh, yeah. Have them walk us through everything.
Mm-hmm. And we can make fun of them.
Yes, because I still, I wine is one of those things I will never be able to tell the difference. I don't think.
I can only, like, I know what I like, right? So I started drinking a lot of wine during pandemic, but I still don't understand 99.9% of what they're talking about. But I do know now, like, if somebody gave me a wine, I'll be like, oh, this is this is a Merlot.
Yeah.
This is a Cab and this is a Syrah. Only because of how much I drank it over time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, this Merlot is so much better than this Merlot.
Yeah, if you told me that one was cheap and one was super expensive, I would not be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, so, like, the descriptors that I like for specific reds, and the reason why I like Syrah is because they taste a little spicier with berries. And I understand what they mean by that. So I'm like, oh, this probably might be a Syrah or something like that. And as a wine person is listening to this, they're like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't you come on this podcast and see what's up?
Yeah, bitch. I had a, I don't know if you call him a sommelier, but I had a tequila guy one time break it down the way he, like, it was literally like a flight of, like, tequilas.
It was Luis.
Yeah, it's fucking, it was the guy that shouted gay ass people with the locker room. Changed it, turned his life around. this guy, like, walked me through and, like, broke it down. Oh, these are distilled like this, and it would bring out hints of this and that. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like, and tequila, I feel, I mean, you know what I've been hearing, bro? I saw a TikTok someone sent me the other day. Because, you know, we love our Clase Azul. And to me, and I don't give a fuck what y'all tell me, I really do enjoy the taste of Clase Azul. I think it's clean. I think it tastes good. I think I like a little bit of sweetness. But there have been people saying that Clase Azul, if you ask a real tequila buff, they'll say it's actually cheap tequila that they can only mark up. They only mark it up because of the fancy bottle. And, like, it's actually, like, the sweeteners they add that's just, like, it's just kind of tricking you to think it's, like, quality shit, you know? And I'm like, oh, well, that might be true, but... I still like it.
I still like it. I like freaking my favorite one right now is Herradura. Herradura is my favorite.
Mm.
I think it's delicious. And it's actually pretty affordable. Like, a decent bottle is like $40.
Mm.
And you just have the time of your fucking life, man.
I can't believe that I've brainwashed myself into liking mezcal.
There is one bottle of mezcal that I really like. It's my buddy Pat gave it to me. Mm. And it's like a pretty inexpensive bottle too, because it's not overly smoky. Like, this is a mezcal you could just drink. I'll bring it next time.
Okay.
And we'll have it.
I you know, here's the thing, right?
Talk about fresh cut garden hose. The mezcal.
You talking about throw the garden hose in a fire. That's a mezcal, dog. Like, I bought a shot for a homegirl one time, and I was like, I don't know if you fuck with this, but I'm gonna get some. It's like, it's tequila, I guess, but it tastes like burnt rubber. And I don't know if you're gonna, she's like, man, fuck it, let's do it. She took that shot and it fucked her up. Like she was ready, like, she looked like she was gonna puke and pass out off one shot. God. She was like, oh no. She was like, oh no, I was not expecting that like that. I'm like, I told you, man. And
here, try some Malort.
Try some fucking Malort. I think I'm gonna bring the rest of my Malort next time. Oh, no. And like, so we were having this mezcal, and I'm like, and you know, and of course, I'm used to having it, you know, mixed in with shit that kind of complements it. But the other day, dog, I was watching this movie, that new movie that came out with The Rock and, like, Ryan Reynolds and sexy ass gal.
Oh, that terrible, terrible movie.
You know what? It's not bad. I actually, it's a fun laugh. Have you watched it?
I hated it.
Did you not like it?
It was just a movie where it was just like, we have all celebrities and that's it. That's all they had.
My complaint would be the dialogue it definitely got lazy, and I'm not a picky person when it comes to action fun movies, but there was a while I'm like, really? That's what y'all decided to write for that scene?
And they're all like good actors, so it's like, you all could have done better than this. Come on.
And it got a little too Ryan Reynolds-y for me.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I'm like, dog, do you need to say a joke
after every sentence.
I was like, am I watching Deadpool?
Yes, exactly. It was a little too much. I feel like even Deadpool doesn't give him that many jokes, yeah, you know? Yeah. But anyways, there's one scene where, if you remember, when they break into, spoiler alert, this is in the beginning. And where
nobody cares.
The Rock pours a little bit of Ryan Reynolds liquor. And I'm like, that looks like a mezcal. And I'm like, and I saw it and I was like, I'm in the mood for a fucking burnt rubber drink right now. And like, I went and took some of my mezcal and poured a little drink and I was sipping that shit while watching the movie. And I'm like, why do I like this?
You got brainwashed.
I brainwashed myself. But I have this theory, dog. And I guess it's true about any liquor, right? Because, like, who actually tries liquor or beer? I used to say it was about beer. Like, because who tries beer for the first time? And it's like, wow.
Yeah, you know, that's actually big facts, right? Because I years ago when I first started YouTube, I actually did a whole ass vlog ranting about how fucking liquor tastes like trash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't understand, right? Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who drank a lot. I started drinking when I was 14, but I only did it because of peer pressure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But somewhere along the way, I specifically remember this. Mm-hmm. I was having Korean barbecue. And I was like, all right, just give me this fucking beer with it. Yeah. And I drank it. I'm like,
Yeah, like, man.
Why does this taste hella good to me right
like,
now?
Like, beer is gross.
Yeah.
But then, like, and my theory is that because beer is so cheap and accessible, you condition yourself to like it because it's the easiest way to get drunk with your friends. It's like a social thing. You know what I'm saying? You go from being like, ugh, beer, to being like, yo, where the fucking beer's at?
You know, I also thought about it, too. It's just like, as you get older, like, you know, we've eaten so much different foods. It's good to have food that has different experiences, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, they're like, well, it's not sweet. It's like, yeah, well, if you want to eat candy all day, then yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, you'll have different beers. It'll taste like citrus. It'll taste like this, this, and that.
Right.
And it's like a different type of food experience. So when I drink beer now and I'm having it with a meal, I rarely ever drink, like, a whole big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'll split a beer with Mariel, and then we'll taste it and like, oh, this is good, and we'll try a different one. So now it's not so much like, oh, I only want to taste sugar, I only want to taste this, I want to taste all these different things. So it's weird, it's different. Also, my mom said is like, you like beer now because as you get older, life gets bitter, so it matches with your lifestyle.
Fire. Bars.
Dude, my mom's a rapper, bro.
I mean, that is facts. I mean, as you get older, right, it's like things just get too sweet. And it's like the shit where you were like, oh yeah, I could eat a fucking milkshake covered in sour gummy bears.
Yeah.
Then you're like, you see it and you're like, ugh.
No thank
and
you.
I never thought I would be one of those guys that's like, after a long day, I could go for a beer, but god damn it, sometimes that's the mood.
Dude, crispy ass fucking beer on a cold, hot ass day, fucking fire.
Isn't that crazy?
Damn. Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of Dudes Behind the Food, Saleh.
Thanks for watching. Maybe we can all just, you know, grab a beer one day, guys. Just kidding. We don't actually want to do that because we don't know you. But thank you for watching and supporting and liking 5 stars and thumbs up and all that. This has been Dudes Behind the Foods. I'm Tim Chantharangsu.
And I'm David So.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly. which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.